Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Jury deliberations could begin today in the trial of a man charged with killing his wife in order to gain citizenship. What Eric Hernandez-Mendez told the court during cross-examination this morning.
A man charged with multiple sexual assaults at Fayetteville Memorial Cemetery in Cumberland County is due in court today. What led authorities to Damon Watts?
Also, a ship loaded with aid sets sail for Gaza, where hunger is spreading. When it's expected to arrive, and the growing rift between the U.S. and Israeli leaders. He admitted he lied, and now that is the subject of the cross-examination of Eric Hernandez-Mendez about his wife's murder. Good afternoon, everyone. I am Chris Lovingood in for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. WRAL's Ken Smith is following developments in that trial. Ken, what did Hernandez-Mendez say today about his role in her death?
Yeah, Renee and Chris, he stuck with his narrative about being wrongfully accused. The cross-examination took about 30 minutes as that trial resumed this morning. The defense rested its case about a half hour ago. Now, when the defense team began its case, Hernandez-Mendez called his marriage to Christina Matos a sham. He said it was a transactional agreement to help him get his green card. When questioned by his attorney, Hernandez-Mendez blamed the couple's roommate, Kaylee Lynch Farrakhano, for killing Matos in their Hillsborough Street apartment back in 2021. He also admitted on the stand that he lied to police about what happened. Under cross-examination, prosecutor Stacey Newton pressed Hernandez-Mendez about his lies.
According to you, you're wrongfully accused. You're not the killer.
I'm not.
And you're the one on trial for this murder.
Correct.
Not Kaylee.
Right.
Even though you're the one who locked Christina's door.
Correct.
You're the one who picked up her fingernails.
Correct.
You're the one who put those gloves on that are soaked with Christina's blood.
But we're working to get a response from Farrakhano's attorney concerning Hernandez-Mendez's accusations against her. Now, if he's convicted, he could face life in prison without parole. Now, closing arguments are scheduled to begin around 2 o'clock this afternoon and will be live streamed on WREL.com. WREL's Chelsea Donovan will have updates from that trial this afternoon, starting with our news at 4. Also, look for updates online at WREL.com and the WREL News app. Bene.
It's very interesting to hear a murder defendant take the stand. Ken, thank you.
A man accused of sexually assaulting two women in a Cumberland County cemetery is now in custody. WRAL was told the attacks happened on March 6th and the 10th. And Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live outside the Cumberland County Detention Center, where Damon Watts will make his first court appearance this afternoon. Gilbert.
Well, Chris, you're right. These are two different women, two different dates when these events took place. But the thing they have in common is where they were picked up here in Fayetteville and where that attack occurred. We do have a picture, a mugshot of the suspect in this case. He's 38-year-old Damon Watts. Investigators say during the late night and early morning hours of March 6th and 10th, Watts offered the women rides home. But he drove them to the Fayetteville Memorial Cemetery on Gillespie Street near the airport and sexually assaulted them and robbed the women. Now, the victims were able to give authorities a description of their attacker, but more importantly, a description of the vehicle he was driving. Investigators used cameras and pieced the information together to help lead to that arrest.
Technology is moving along. You know, agencies have license plate readers and stuff like that. So, you know, if a person says, you know, hey, you know, this crime occurred at 10 o'clock at night, if they're able to give us a vehicle description, you can go back and look through that footage and see, you know, hey, there were only two vehicles that passed through.
Now, Watts faces several charges, including first-degree forcible rape, second-degree kidnapping, and assault by pointing a gun. Authorities think there may be more victims out there. They're encouraging those individuals to come forward. Right now, Watts is being held here in the Cumberland County Detention Center without bond. But, Chris, that might change when he makes his first court appearance at 2:30.
And there's at least that significant update in this story today. Gilbert Bay is reporting live. Thank you, Gilbert.
And happening right now in the WRAL Life Center, the House Judiciary Committee is holding a hearing with Special Counsel Robert Hur. This is a live look in right now at Hur on the stand. He investigated President Biden's handling of classified documents. He did not bring criminal charges and said facts stopped short of finding that he retained any classified material. But he did offer a deeply damaging portrait of an aging president beset by memory issues. He says his assessment on Biden's memory was necessary and fair and made made very clear the investigation was done under his guidance and the report written in his own words. He says he could not charge Biden with criminal violation because the case missed incident element. We'll stay on top of this and bring you the latest from the Live Center.
Michelle, thanks. The U.S. Supreme Court is taking more time to decide what to do about a controversial Texas immigration law. The law was halted by a federal judge after the White House sued. Justice Samuel Alito extended the block until March 18th at 5 p.m. Under the measure, police would have the power to arrest migrants who illegally enter the country from Mexico, and authorities could impose criminal penalties. Lawyers for the Biden administration argue federal law preempts state law.
President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are visiting North Carolina together later this month. Biden and Harris will be in the state on Tuesday, March 26th, as part of their reelection campaign. The White House did not share a specific location, though, where they'll be visiting. And starting at 4 o'clock today, we'll have the latest results from the exclusive WRAL News poll. We asked hundreds of North Carolinians their opinions on the leading candidates for president and governor. We specifically asked how age, mental competence, and criminal charges, as well as controversies, affect those opinions.
We're waiting to learn the name of the person who died in a crash involving two dump trucks and a car. This happened just before 9:30 this morning on Highway 15501 near McNeil Street in Carthage. Witnesses say the driver of the car crossed the center line, hitting one of the dump trucks. The driver of the car died at the scene. No one else was seriously hurt. Police in Raleigh are investigating a hit-and-run crash on Lewisburg Road near Calvary Drive. This is video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker around 5 a.m. Police tell us someone was driving a stolen Elantra and crashed into a car that a pregnant woman was driving. The woman was taken to the hospital. No word if the other driver has been captured.
Deputies in Duplin County in the eastern part of our state are investigating whether children received fentanyl pills from a daycare employee. It happened in Kenansville. Last Wednesday, deputies say the two children ended up in the hospital. The children were unresponsive after deputies say they swallowed what they were told was candy, but now investigators believe this was fentanyl. Both children were treated and released from the hospital, and no one has been arrested at this point in this case. Passengers aboard a turbulent flight from Australia to New Zealand are opening up about the intense moments in the sky. I want to show you right now images from inside the LATAM Airlines plane just after the aircraft suddenly dropped for a few seconds. This caused people to be tossed around the cabin, and at least 50 of the more than 200 passengers aboard the flight were treated for their injuries. Some had to go to the hospital when the plane landed, and some passengers described the scene as frightening and chaotic.
The girl in front of my girlfriend, she was pretty much on the roof of the cabin. The girl next to me hit her head on the cabin.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere, and it felt like, you know, when you are in a roller coaster and you just go like this, that sensation. And then everything flew up, went down, and it was like very shocking.
This happened about 2 hours into a three-hour flight. LATAM would only say the aircraft experienced strong movement after a technical problem, and they're investigating.
Students in Wake County could soon be protected from discrimination based on their hairstyle. Today, Wake County public school leaders will consider the Crown Act. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains other school districts have discussed and implemented the policy.
Wake County school leaders will meet here at the district headquarters later today. Their policy committee will talk about putting the Crown Act on the books. The Crown Act stands for Create a Respectful and Open Workplace for Natural Hair. The law applies for discrimination against any person's hairstyle, but hair-based discrimination is an issue specifically for black women. Durham Public Schools host an annual celebration, Crown Act Week, to celebrate black women's natural hair. Hairstylist Lisa Smile says some of her clients experience discrimination from employers about their hair.
We don't want to lose the integrity of our hair just because we need to look a professional way. So I think with this act, it's going to empower even more women who have been afraid to wear their natural hair to embrace it.
The policy committee may agree to move this forward to the full board. From there, it would have to be approved in two separate meetings before becoming policy. That likely won't happen until next month. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, and Cary.
Today is Equal Pay Day in the U.S. March 12th represents just how far into the current year women have to work to make the same amount of money men made in the prior one. Now, in actual dollars and cents, women earn 84 cents to every dollar a man makes. The most egregious pay gaps are among financial managers, retail salespeople, education, and child care administrators. While there is still work to do, in general, the gender pay gap is narrowing.
After losing their last four games of the regular season, NC State stands to needing to win the ACC tournament to make it to the big dance. But before they get to Saturday, they have to get through today. Casey Hintz will have live reports from Washington, D.C. all week from the ACC tournament. Just a reminder, WREL is your home for college basketball coverage in March.
Next at noon, tons of food is set to head to Gaza for much needed relief. We're bringing you a report on why else this is important, plus concerns about Israel's leadership.
And coming up next, you'll hear why bugs, not grain, might be a better alternative for the livestock and for people eating them.
Plus, spring has not sprung yet, but when it does, realtors expect a better home buying market compared to last year. We'll explain why. Elizabeth.
Some places started with temperatures near freezing this morning. And look at this. We're already in the mid-60s. Temperatures are going to skyrocket for the rest of this week. I'll show you how hot it gets.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
An aid ship loaded with some 200 tons of food set sail for Gaza today in a pilot program for the opening of a sea corridor to the territory. It's expected to arrive in 3 days.
Meanwhile, a report on national security suggests that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's viability as a leader could be in jeopardy. Trey Yingst has new developments from the Middle East.
With widespread starvation now being reported throughout the Gaza Strip, aid groups are trying something new. On Tuesday, a ship loaded with about 200 tons of goods set sail from Cyprus, the first in a pilot program that would see more aid brought in through what's left of Gaza's ports. This shipment was gathered by the charity group World Food Kitchen, founded by celebrity chef Jose Andres. And desperate Gazans are hoping more is on the way.
There is no food, no drinking water, and no flour. All these children need nutrition, financial, and humanitarian support. We call on anyone with a human conscience to care for these children.
Meanwhile, the rift between President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu appears to be intensifying. The president has been stepping up his criticism of Israel's conduct in the war, saying civilian casualties are too high. And on Monday, he said he has no plans to speak with the prime minister about those concerns.
Have you scheduled to come to Jesus meeting with Bibi Netanyahu?
No.
We'll
see what happens.
That came just hours before the U.S. intelligence community told lawmakers on Capitol Hill that Netanyahu's viability as a leader is in jeopardy, with many Israelis critical of the longtime prime minister for failing to rescue the hostages.
I worry that Prime Minister Netanyahu's conduct in the war threatens to undermine support for Israel in the long term, including in the United States.
That was Trey Yingst reporting. The ship normally serves as a search and rescue vessel. A temporary jetty will be built to transport the pallets to land.
Haiti's embattled leader resigned as gang violence escalates throughout the country. Ariel Henry came to power unelected in 2021 after the assassination of Haiti's then president. Officials confirmed that Henry's resignation came out after a meeting in Jamaica to discuss a framework for a political transition. NASA's SpaceX Crew 7 astronauts are back on Earth. The Dragon capsule splashed down off the coast of Pensacola, Florida, shortly before 6 this morning. The crew spent 6 months aboard the International Space Station. They conducted over 200 experiments during their time in space.
What we eat can have big effects on the environment. Jackie Ibanez takes a look at why feeding livestock bugs instead of grain could provide solutions to the ongoing climate crisis.
The food most people eat has to eat something. The millions of chickens, pigs, and cows many rely on being fed a diet high in corn, soybeans, and other grains. But it takes a lot of land, water, energy, pesticides, and more to grow and transport all these crops. With some climate activists saying these factors contribute to the already high carbon footprint associated with animal agriculture.
It's incredibly unsustainable.
To help make the modern day food system more sustainable, British-based company EntoCycle is investing in the mass production of insects known as black soldier flies.
It is the quickest, cheapest, most sustainable insect to farm, and it's a non-disease, non-pest species that's found all over the world.
Because the bugs are so small, the company says they don't require a lot of space and resources to be raised. The company is transforming these little guys into protein-rich food for livestock and using its software to help other organizations farm billions of black soldier flies on an industrial level.
And so our suite of technology removes that kind of the issues around managing so many animals at one time. It removes that kind of human labor that's very costly in certain areas of a facility.
There's Jackie Ibanez reporting. And since the flies can be fed rotting food, experts say they can also help fight the food waste crisis affecting the world. And that is also driving up greenhouse gas emissions.
We certainly don't want to waste any food nor waste the opportunity to enjoy this beautiful day. Maybe take lunch outside. Elizabeth Gardner has that idea. Well, not eating lunch, but doing the weather outside on the WRL weather patio. Elizabeth.
Hey, you'd never know if I was eating lunch out here or not, right? Could be right over there. Over there. It is absolutely gorgeous out there right now. Especially I'm wearing black and the sun is behind me. I am super warm. You know, I could almost wear short sleeves. I can't even imagine when our temperature gets up to almost 80 degrees in a couple of days, how that's going to feel. I mean, truly shorts and t-shirts weather. We're going to take a live look at Durham right now. And I love to pull this up because sometimes there's a group of people who head out there on the lawn at the Deepak and play soccer. I don't see them today. So maybe they just have certain days that they do it, but it is definitely a day to get outside and enjoy. 64 degrees, but I promise you, standing here in the sun where the wind is still in a black outfit, it feels a whole lot warmer than that. We'll climb on up into the low 70s. We ended up in the mid 30s across the area this morning in most places, and so just to see temperatures warm up this quickly is something that we don't always see. Temperatures 65 in Southern Pines, 64 in Fayetteville, and 64 in South Hill, and 65 right now in Goldsboro. And of course, yesterday was a fairly cool day. So our temperatures right now are anywhere between about 10 and almost 15 degrees warmer than they were this time yesterday. So big warm up in progress. Around town, expect a high of 71 in Raleigh, 71 in Durham, and 73 in Fayetteville. And you know, we might creep up a little bit more than that, but we were mostly in the mid 60s right now. So I think we're probably in pretty good shape there. 62 is our normal high. And so we're definitely above that today. Then we jump to 75 for Wednesday, 79 on Thursday. And you may wonder, is that going to be a record? Actually, our records this time of year are in the upper 80s. As a matter of fact, the warmest temperature we've ever seen in March at RDU is 94. That happened toward the end of the month. But we can definitely have some warm temperatures this time of year. 78 on Friday, but Friday we're also likely to see the potential for some scattered showers, and we're going to walk through that coming up in just a little while. Our meteorological spring, we don't hit 79 as a normal high until May 15th, but it does not usually do that stair step thing. Instead, it does the roller coaster. That's what happens with our temperatures this time of year. We have big ups and downs. So we're up, we're going to be down next week. But the flowers will be happy no matter what. This is a look at our WRL gardens. This is, of course, the tulips in bloom, one of my favorite spring flowers. There's a good graphic to show you. Our pollen count actually dropped for trees, so we're back down to low for trees. But likely by tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, we're likely to see our pollen count climbing because of these very warm temperatures. Again, next week, we're probably going to end up dropping our temperatures below normal. That's going to put us down in the 50s potentially for a few days. And Friday, we'll have a chance of some showers and possible thunderstorms. And Sunday looks a little bit wet also for St. Patrick's Day. We'll walk through the timeline for showers those days coming up.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. NCCU fired a total of 5 employees as part of an embezzlement investigation. What the school has recently learned about what it is calling a complex criminal enterprise. That story at 5:30.
Then at 6, President Joe Biden's proposed budget includes funding for a new bus rapid transit line here in the Triangle, where Chapel Hill's BRT line would go. NBC's hit game show Password returns tonight, and there is no shortage of laughs.
Potion.
Let's go!
Dang, it's Dancer.
Still to come on this newscast, a preview of the hilarious start to season 2 with Emmy Award-winning host Kiki Palmer.
Plus, Johnsonville is recalling more than 35,000 pounds of turkey kielbasa sausage. The issue that prompted the company to take action.
Welcome back. One word, if it's the right word, could mean big money, as in $25,000. That's the top prize as Password returns for season two tonight here on WREL.
Mark Barger talked to the show's Emmy award-winning host, Kiki Palmer, about what's in store with tonight's premiere.
Deal or no deal?
Joe Manganiello takes a break from his island duties tonight.
Presto!
To help kick off season two of Password.
Abracadabra.
Yes!
Joe was really good. I love Joe. He's a lot of fun. He's definitely not hard on the eyes.
And while his mere presence was welcomed by host Kiki Palmer.
Hey, come on now. It's a family show.
And Jimmy Fallon, Manganiello proved.
School.
He's a player.
Hogwarts.
You got it.
Yes.
I feel like I got hit by lightning. It might be proof that mind reading is possible.
It really was amazing. You were fantastic.
Especially when it comes to the show's newest element, Shoot the Moon.
You have one clue to get your partner to say the password for 8 points.
Scottish.
Bagpipes.
So that's the game of Password. It's communication, obviously not as much with words, really with eyes and energy.
And for pure energy...
Just saying, it's Dancer.
It's hard to beat Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy is one of those people that know how to share energy, and so I think that's why he's so great at the game.
With an array of stars ready to take him on.
Season 2 is going to be insane.
Mark Barger, NBC News.
Password airs tonight at 10 o'clock here on WREL, right after the final round of blind auditions on The Voice. Looks like fun, and he kind of did look like he was reading minds. It was a little strange. One word guess.
Right? How did she guess bagpipes from that noise that he admitted?
I think it's him saying Scottish is what did it. So I was like, okay, I could guess that too.
All right. Home prices are still high right now, but experts say this is the best time of year to buy or sell a home. What you can do to speed up the process.
Plus, some drivers think that assisted driving technology makes long trips easier. But the latest test scores reveal.
First, here's a look at your winning North Carolina Education Lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WREL News. Coverage you can count on.
Our brand new WREL documentary premiering tomorrow looks at why kids are dying from guns in North Carolina. It's called Unsafe: North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence. WREL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severitz produced and hosts the doc. She joins us now to talk about this project. Kristen, once again, you're tackling a frustrating, yes, heartbreaking topic. What made you decide to focus in on youth gun violence?
You know, Renee, I think when you look at the numbers really in North Carolina and across the country, you start to say, you know, why is this happening? And that's what we did. And we said, you know, we have to investigate this and really look at what can be done to save lives. You know, kids in North Carolina are 51% more likely to die from guns compared to the national average. And, you know, we looked at statewide death records in our state. Since 2018, 521 kids under 18 have died from guns. You know, that includes accidental shootings, homicides, and suicides. And every death of a child, you know, it impacts countless others. You know, it really destroys families. And sadly, you know, that's what we learned doing our documentary, just how many lives are destroyed by one death. We spent a lot of time, months really, with the Dockery family in Fayetteville. You may remember this story. The dad, Fawn Dockery, had dropped his two daughters off at their babysitter's house in July. Now, this was a trusted babysitter. His 8-year-old daughter, Genesis, 5-year-old daughter, Amara, loved going there. Well, then he got a frantic call from the babysitter that Genesis had been shot. And this is really the beginning of the family's nightmare. The babysitter then called 911. Here is a short clip from our documentary, Unsafe. And I do have to warn you watching at home, you know, this 911 call, which is a part of this clip, it is difficult to listen to.
emergency?
The babysitter called 911 and told the operator what she said happened at the beginning of the call.
My son brought a gun home from my dad's house, and it fell out of the closet, and it shot the little girl that I'm babysitting.
And again, at the very end of the call, right before she hung up.
My son is the one that brought it home, and I didn't know.
Genesis was shot in the head. The 8-year-old was rushed to the hospital.
She got shot on July 25th, and she passed away on July the 27th. And she was just 4 days, you know, short of her 9th birthday.
It's just so tough. And, you know, we really get into the rest of this story in our documentary. The babysitter's 11-year-old son had stolen a gun from his grandfather's house, brought it to his mother's house. She told me she had no idea. The 11-year-old ended up getting charged with larceny of a firearm and manslaughter, and he entered the juvenile equivalent of a guilty plea. You know, his mother and grandfather were not charged, though. And, Renee, you know, this case, it is so sad. You can feel their pain. And I spent time with them, unimaginable loss. They want their story out there because they want people to know this can happen. And we also get into really the solution. There is a solution all around safe storage that is being pushed statewide that really the numbers show it can save lives.
Yeah, so many of these deaths are preventable.
Right.
And one kid dying from gun violence is one too many. And we talk about numbers and percentages, but at the heart of it is these are kids whose lives were cut far too short.
Far too short. And you will see, you know, kind of what happens and how many lives are impacted.
We look forward to what you uncover in this documentary.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you so much. You can watch Unsafe, North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence, tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. on WREL or on WRELdoc.com.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, North Carolina judges have blocked election board changes pushed by Republicans that would weaken Governor Roy Cooper. Trial judges say that portions of a new election law must be permanently blocked. The changes would have shifted board appointment powers away from the governor and to the legislature. The judges agreed with Cooper's lawyers, who said the new appointments process interferes with a governor's ability to ensure that elections and voting laws are faithfully executed. The decision means that these boards will remain under the previous law setup unless it gets overturned on appeal.
Thank you, Michelle. $59. That is how little one employee at St. Augustine's University says is left in her bank account. She talked with WREL after not getting paid again. Employees say they are not able to make rent. They are not able to buy groceries. As WREL has followed this story, we have learned that February 9th is the last time employees were paid. They're now waiting for a check from February 23rd and this past Friday, March 8th. This is prompting an outpouring of support from alumni that are inspired to help out their alma mater.
All alumni chapters for the university is running the 1867 challenge, where you can donate $18.67, which was the year that we're founded, directly to the alumni chapter to help support those fundraising efforts.
The university is at nearly $225,000 in donations out of its $5 million goal. We have reached out to the university to find out how many employees are waiting for checks and when they can expect them. We're just waiting to hear back. And a record number of Americans tapped into their 401k accounts last year. More than 3% of Vanguard customers made a withdrawal for financial emergencies. About 40% of the withdrawals were used to avoid foreclosure. Americans have been turning to the 401k accounts as the cost of cars, loans, childcare, groceries, credit card, and utility bills continue to rise.
The last few years have been tough for home buyers with high interest rates, low inventory, and rising prices. But the National Association of Realtors says there is reason for buyers to be more optimistic going into this year's spring market. Jen Sullivan looks at what buyers and sellers can expect.
It's not just the flowers in bloom this spring. The housing market is blooming, too. So if you're looking to buy or sell a home, many experts say this is the best time of year.
We always see more buyers as well as more sellers come onto the market.
Lawrence Yoon with the National Association of Realtors says many families want to close before the new school year starts in the fall, which is why this is a popular time to buy or sell. So what can buyers expect this spring?
we are seeing improvement in the consumer confidence about home buying process.
Yoon says buyers can be more optimistic for a few reasons. First, more inventory, which means less competition.
In the past 2 years, we have had a historically low inventory.
Secondly, mortgage rates have slightly dipped recently. According to Freddie Mac, last week, a 30-year fixed mortgage rate averaged 6.88%. At the end of February, it was 6.94%. While rates are slowly coming down, they're still higher than this time last year. Home prices, though, are still high.
We had a substantial price increase in the past 3 years, about 30-40% price gain in many parts of the country.
In January, the median existing home sale price was $379,100, according to the National Association of Realtors. That's 5.1% higher than January of last year, and it's the seventh month in a row that prices have gone up.
And that was Jen Sullivan reporting. The National Association of Realtors says buyers should get pre-approved for a mortgage before looking for a home and to be flexible on the closing date.
Elon Musk and a company he helped create are deep in a feud. Why OpenAI does not want Musk's lawsuit to see the light of day.
And maybe you need to catch up on some sleep. How long should you nap? The ideal length so you can feel rested and not groggy. The WRL News app brings you the best of WRL's reporting and technology resources. Access news and info whenever and wherever you want. Download it to your favorite devices.
We're going to get you a nice little peek outside looking over Chapel Hill. Beautiful blue skies. You got some traffic going, and you already heard from meteorologist Elizabeth Garter. We're in the 60s right now, so it's looking pretty good. As you're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or your streaming device. Johnsonville is recalling 35,000 pounds of turkey kielbasa sausages because some of the packaging could contain rubber. Affected packages have best by dates of May 17th, 2024 and May 18th, 2024. They were shipped to retailers nationwide, and at last check, there have been no illnesses reported at the time. If you have one, you may want to throw it away.
Airbnb is banning the use of indoor security cameras by hosts by the end of next month. Airbnb says it's seeking to simplify its security policy while also prioritizing the privacy of guests. Airbnb had allowed the use of indoor cameras in common areas as long as the location was disclosed in the listing. Under the new policy, hosts can still use doorbell cameras and noise decibel monitors, which are only allowed in common spaces and must be disclosed.
The company OpenAI is asking a judge for a dismissal of a lawsuit filed by Elon Musk. Musk, who co-founded OpenAI in 2015, has accused the company of breaching its founding agreement. OpenAI shared an email that Musk sent to co-founders in 2018, and in it, he said the executives should sell itself to Tesla to remain competitive. Well, they refused, and Musk left the company the same year. OpenAI is concerned that Musk could use the discovery process to gain access to OpenAI's proprietary records and technology. Tesla and similar autopilot systems scored poor on recent tests by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. The systems use different sensors and technology to help a driver keep their vehicle in its lane. The agency tested 14 systems and gave 11 of them a poor rating. It says none of them did a good job monitoring driver attention. The group's president said some drivers may feel partial that automation makes long drives easier. And they also said there's little evidence it makes driving safer.
The FDA gives Wegovy the green light to fight another health issue. That story after the break.
And a sleep expert offers some insight into how the ideal nap should be and the best time of day to take one.
Welcome back. It looks just gorgeous out there as we take a live look at Dorothea Dix Park. Look at that clear blue sky, and it's already in the 60s.
I mean, it's amazing. If you're going to go for a drive, I mean, having the sunroof down is a necessity right now. Mm-hmm. We've got meteorologist Elizabeth Garner getting you started. If you haven't seen a forecast just yet, beautiful outside. You get to be outside, Elizabeth.
I do. I am so lucky. I drew the long straw, short straw, whatever the good straw was. I definitely drew it today because it feels so great out here. I would take a little bit of a breeze because I'm wearing black, and it's the sun is bright and definitely warm. Here's a place where I thought we would find lots of folks, and definitely Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. A lot of people out enjoying the sunshine this afternoon, and they're probably going to be a busy place over the next few days. We'll take it all the way out till, say, Friday afternoon before we see another chance for rain. And it does feel really nice out there right now. Let's go ahead and talk about that, though. You know, it's never too early to start talking about the weekend. Friday, we'll see a front approaching, could bring us some late day showers and thunderstorms. We're going to wait tomorrow. We'll see if the Storm Prediction Center is going to put us under any sort of level of risk for severe storms. Right now, it doesn't look like it would be anything that would be terribly severe. It doesn't look like it would be a high risk, but it's something that we watch very closely this time of year. March, April, May is our peak of severe weather season. So Saturday, in between systems, looks mainly dry. That's great. A big parade, of course, in Raleigh for Saturday, the St. Patrick's Day parade. And that starts at about 10 o'clock in the morning. And then on Sunday, there is another front that comes through. So Sunday, the models have kind of been all over the place about Sunday. One day, it looks pretty wet. The next day, it's looking a little drier. So just so.
Well, as we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we are following today.
Closing arguments are set for today in the murder trial of an NC State University student. Eric Hernandez Mendez is standing trial for the murder of his wife, Christina Matos. He maintains his innocence, claiming the couple's roommate, Kaylee Lynch Ferracano, stabbed her to death. Closing arguments are set for 2 p.m. They will be live streamed on WREL.com.
President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris will visit North Carolina together later this month. According to the White House, Biden and Harris will be in the state on Tuesday, March 26th. This is part of their reelection campaign. The White House did not share, though, a specific location for the visit.
The ACC men's basketball tournament tips off today in the nation's capital. NC State will play its first game today at 4:30 against Louisville. Both the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils won't play their first games until the quarterfinals on Thursday. Casey Hintz is bringing us all the action with live reports from Washington, D.C. all week. The New York Times will release its 1,000th Wordle puzzle this Friday. If you solve the popular word game, you could get a special treat. The first 1,000 people who use the answer to the 1,000th puzzle as a promo code will receive 1 month free trial of Super Duolingo. Other companies are also offering promotions for those who solve this particular Wordle.
I'm thinking you're going to get money. You're going to get, I'm sorry, just Wordle, huh? Or just Duolingo.
I would guess money
huh?
as my first
That's what
guess,
I thought too,
right?
But okay, yeah. I guess learn a new language. Good promo there, New York Times. All right, a city in Wisconsin is adopting a new name in honor of St. Patrick's Day. New London will be known as New Dublin. To make it officially official, the Shamrock Club of New London changed the city's entry signs yesterday. They also added a sign honoring the fact that New London has an Irish city for its sister city. This is an annual tradition for the city now in its 40th year of New Dublin Week.
A hound in Kentucky has a new group of best friends. This weekend, the crew got a call about a missing dog that somehow got stuck on a bluff, 170 feet tall. Rescuers had to wait for the morning sun to launch their plan to rescue Waylon the dog. The team used a rope system to lower a rescuer to him and then pulled them both back to safety. The grateful owner and Waylon were reunited a short time later. Amazingly, Waylon did not suffer any serious injuries. Great work. Mm-hmm. The next Cadbury Buddy could be from right here in North Carolina.
This is Sheldon from Jacksonville. The Rex Rabbit was chosen as a semifinalist for the 2024 Cadbury Bunny tryouts. Voting is live now on Cadbury USA's Instagram story. It's neck and neck right now, so hop on over and vote for him, and maybe he might get his own little one-month trial Duolingo. I'm just kidding.
He so looks distinguished with the bow tie. Looks the part.
He's cute.
Well, President Biden's proposed budget includes nearly $140 million for the first public transit line in Chapel Hill. On WRL News at 4, a first look at what the potential bus route would look like and who it would benefit.
NBC News Daily is next on WRL, and your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
Go out and enjoy this beautiful weather. You can get breaking news updates anytime, wherever you go, with our WRL News app. Have a great day. We'll see you back here at 4.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.